Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How is everybody this morning? Good? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Nice and cloudy, and it's not hot, and it's just a beautiful day. And the other thing that's beautiful is because we're here worshiping the Lord. And it's always good to come together as a church family to worship the Lord. And I hope you were waiting since last Sabbath to come back and continue worship in this way. Some of you know, some of you might not know, and my wife and I were just wondering, because our head elder, Gracie Morey, is going to be away for a few weeks, and she's going to Nepal. And my wife and I, where in the world is Nepal? So that was probably just us, but for those of you that might not know, here it is. Here we are here, somewhere on here. Nepal is all the way over here. It takes about 10 hours, maybe, flight. 18. Well, for sure I'm not going to go there. 18 hours. Well, I should have just taken that out then. That's the latest flight hours from the internet. So they're wrong. I'll let them know. It's over 10 hours. That's true. Just 8 hours more. But that's where our head elder is going to be for 5 weeks. What is she going to be doing over there? What's the purpose? She's leaving tomorrow, by the way. So if you're going to say goodbye to her, say it today. She leaves tomorrow. Purpose is to provide training to improve hygiene and sanitation at the 150-bed General Hospital run by the Seventh-day Adventists there. And as a matter of fact, Roy, who is here this morning, Sylvia Klein's husband, was the administrator there for 6 years. And so he knows where that's at, I think. Approximately 80% of the Nepalese are Hindu, 10% are Buddhists, and 0.5% are Christians. And you probably already know this, Grace, but here are the languages that they speak, and I hope you speak one of them. Because I think English might be an other. And then there's 3% of unspecified, but then they speak all those other languages. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. But she is going to be there 5 weeks. In the meantime, Colleen Shaver, and just letting you know, the congregation has agreed, and I would probably you and I would be in agreement, Colleen, maybe, that you're going to try to fill her shoes for 5 weeks. I asked Grace if she wanted the congregation to know, and she said no, and I said yes. Because I think that, you know, as I was listening to the story of Harry, this is about missions. This is what the church is about. And I said, I want to have special prayer for you as you go out in this endeavor. You know, for me, half an hour in an airplane is half an hour too long. Just to think, you know, more than 7 hours up there. So, Grace, come on up here, please. We want you to know your church is going to be praying for you. I know you're going to be doing a great missionary endeavor there, and I know that the Lord is going to bless you. I know that. I wanted to have prayer for Grace, and I'm going to ask the elders if you would come up here, please, all the elders of the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Grace, this is a special chair that we're going to have you sit down here. And I'm going to ask the elders if we could surround Grace. And I'm going to ask the congregation if you would please bow your heads with me as we have prayer. Father, this morning, we come before you just to thank you for giving us life, for giving us an opportunity to worship together. But Father, we're also coming before you this morning for a special prayer for Grace. Father, she has accepted this challenge. She has accepted this opportunity to go and minister to the people of Nepal in the area there in the hospital that she's going to be helping in. And Father, I pray that first of all, you may keep her safe. Give her safe travels as she goes to Nepal, and also 5 weeks later as she returns home. Father, I pray that you may give her protection while she's there. We don't know what kinds of things she might encounter, so we pray that your holy angels may be with her constantly as she does your work. Father, we're also praying that she may be able to help the people that are in need. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit may give her the wisdom that she will need, the knowledge that she has to be able to impart to those that are going to be waiting for her. Father, be with Colleen also as she will be doing the duties of head elder. I pray that your Holy Spirit may also be with her as we all try to do all we can to honor and to glorify your name. So this morning, we leave Grace in your hands. May the Holy Spirit go with her. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Grace. Thank you. It was a... Grace, by the way, this is Mount Everest. Hopefully you'll get to climb that. It's in the border of Nepal and China. And these are prayer flags that, you know, the climbers put and the Buddhist priests put for those that are going to be climbing. And I just wanted you to know that we, as a Valley View Church, we will have a prayer flag for you as you go do that work in Nepal. Yes, sir. Up here. This morning, sermon is titled Pillars of Evangelism. Why did I do that? Evangelism. Because this year, 2009, the North American Division has designated this year as the year of evangelism. Amen? All right, but the year of evangelism cannot happen just by itself, right? We are part of evangelism. We as a church should breathe and eat and think evangelism. That's what we're here for, right? Mr. Harry Anderson. Talk about a man that ate and breathed and thought evangelism. It was part of his life. It was part of his life. And it was interesting that the thought that if they would have asked him, have you sacrificed, he probably would have said, no. No, I have not. No, I have not. This sermon is not... I don't want to put any guilt or pressure on anybody. I hope you understand that. Why? Because I believe this, that guilt and pressure discourage rather than encourage. So right off the bat, I'm telling you, don't feel guilty or don't feel I'm pressuring to doing something. However, if you start feeling a little bit uncomfortable, maybe it's the Holy Spirit asking you, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because the question is, what are we going to do as a church for 2009? And we have some things planned. We have some things planned in the making. We have our major vacation Bible school that we're planning for. We have a cooking class that is in the works. And we also have a lay-led evangelistic series that's also in the works. So we are planning things as a church, but as individuals, what are you going to do? And that's the question. That's what I wanted to bring this morning. Right off the bat, I want to just share with you this, that Valley View Church is going to do everything possible to bring people to the feet of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? All right. Here's the other thing I want to share with you this morning, which is pillar number one. Every believer is a minister. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Welcome to the ministry. You are a minister. Now, having said that, I understand this is also true, that not everyone is a pastor, right? Not everyone's a pastor. But everyone should have a ministry. Everyone should have a ministry. What type of a ministry? The Lord will lead you into your ministry. Let me just share with you a simple ministry that you could do. Anybody could do this. As a matter of fact, all of us could be doing this. You look around today and you see some of your friends, some of your family members, or somebody that you know is not here this morning. Look around. I can see that there's some missing. Because, you know, I know where most of you sit by now. Matter of fact, Philip is missing. He sits right there. Maybe somebody took his place. But you know what? Anybody could see, okay, Philip is missing. I'll call him. I'll send him a little card. I'll send him an email. Do something. That's a ministry that we all could do. Today, when you go home, look around and say, who was missing? Oh, okay, so-and-so was missing. I'll give him a call. I'll give her a call. I'll send him an email or something. We're here for evangelism. So, having said that, I want you, all of you who brought your Bibles, to please open your Bibles. The texts up here are basically and generally for our guests that maybe have not brought a Bible. But we are going to talk a little bit about evangelism, ministry. And the first thing is that we are and were created for ministry. And I'll let the Word of God speak, because if I speak, you might not believe me. So, Ephesians 2:10. All right. This is what it says, 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right? So, you and I were created for what? Good works. Now, let me just say something here. We are not saved by works. Do you understand that? But there was the Sabbath thought that I put up here this morning. I don't know if you missed it or not, but the Sabbath thought that I put, and I'm looking for it, and here it is. This is what it says. It says, you can give without loving. You can give without loving. A lot of people give without loving. But you can't love without giving. You can't love without giving. Do you love Jesus Christ? We were created for ministry. We were created, or we are being saved for ministry. I like to put it this way, being saved for ministry. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, okay, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And let's continue with verse 10. Because it goes, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine, and let's continue with 11, according, it says, to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This same precious gospel that was committed to his trust is committed to your trust. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with the gospel that God has given us? And then verse 12, it says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And the Lord has counted all of you faithful and has put you into the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he put you there. We are also called to ministry. You like that? 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. So let's go 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Are you glad that God has shown mercy to you? Sometimes we act as people that the Lord has not shown mercy to. How big is your smile when that policeman let you go? From ear to ear, right? And you even said, officer. Thank you, officer. That person showed mercy on you. God has shown tremendous mercy on us. Why do I know this? Because yet we were sinners. He came down to die for us. While we were sinners, he came down to die for us. Pastor, I do not have that gift. I can't do that. I don't have that gift. You all were given the gift. You were all gifted for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you all have a gift. Maybe even two or three gifts. The problem is that sometimes we don't know what those gifts are, do we? Some of you know your gift. Some don't. But some don't want to search for their gift. Because if you find it, then I'm responsible for it, right? So if I don't find it, I could claim ignorance. But remember, you were all called for ministry. And God has given you a gift that you need to be using to minister to others. And if you don't know that gift, try to find it. Ask the Lord to lead you on where you need to go. What authority do you have to go out and do this? Well, the authority of Jesus Christ. You have been authorized by Jesus for ministry. Did you know that? Pick up Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So where does your authority come to go out and proclaim the gospel that has been entrusted to you? Where does that authority come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. So you are authorized. So if you didn't think you were authorized, now you know. You could go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only are we authorized, but we are also suggested to minister. It's a suggestion for us to go and minister. It's a command. It's a command. Let's look at Matthew. Just go a few chapters back. Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." As a ransom for many. So you and I are here not to be served, but to what? To serve. To serve. So if all of us would have been in that upper room that night when Jesus was sitting there with all of us and no one was washing the feet, all of us would have jumped up in unison and started to wash the feet of everybody. Right? That is service. That is the spirit of service that the Lord is asking us to have in our hearts. But you know what? I have noticed that the spirit of service, to have the spirit of service in our hearts, we first have to somehow kick self out of our hearts. Because if you have self in the heart, it is very difficult to have the spirit of service. Because self will always want to come first. To be a minister, to be in ministry, will take time. And time, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're tall or short, whether you live here or in Nepal, we all have 24 hours a day. And we're all going to be accountable for what we did with our time, which should be God's time. But we are commanded to minister. Point G on this number one pillar, we are to be prepared for ministry. Let's look up Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is some preparation that needs to take place. But sometimes I see that as an excuse. Pastor, I can't do that because I'm not prepared. I have not been taught. Question. The woman at the well, how many seminars did she go to before she went to preach? The people that Jesus Christ healed, how many How to Give Bible Study seminars did they go to before they went? None. When the love of Jesus Christ takes over, you will do that naturally. It just happens. It just happens. Alex, come up here. I want to share something very exciting. I got a call from Alex yesterday, and we were talking, and he shared something with me, and I said, you know, we probably should share this to the congregation. And here, I'll give you a nice little red microphone here. Because we were talking, and Alex, there's some good news happening in your family, right?
Yeah, my uncle.
Yeah, uncle. What's your uncle's name?
Eliezer.
Eliezer. Eliezer?
Eliezer.
Eliezer. Okay. Was your uncle a Christian?
Catholic. You know, once in a while I go to church. But
okay. Do me a favor. Put this right about an inch from your mouth.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So he was a Catholic, but was he a good Catholic?
No. No. You know, once in a while I go to church, but not really.
Not really. There wasn't that relationship with Jesus Christ or anything like that. It was just by name.
Just by name.
Just by name.
That's it.
And you're... Let's see, so it would be...
My dad's brother.
Your dad's brother. He's Adventist, is it?
Yeah, my dad is Adventist.
Okay. Your dad is Adventist,
mm-hmm.
And that would be his brother. Okay, so your dad has been praying for them because it's only your dad and who else that are Adventists in your family?
There are 10 brothers, and the youngest sister is Adventist, and one nephew is Adventist, and my dad... So all the rest of the family, they're, you know, Catholics. So
there are three that are Adventists. That does not include you. You're here. But over there are three that are Adventists. And so there is this uncle that's Catholic, not a very good Catholic, but he's Catholic by name. So one day they realized something. What was happening with your uncle?
My aunt went to go visit him and, you know, say, hello, how you doing? And my uncle said, Martha, that's my aunt's name. He said, come, come, let's go to the living room and let's talk about the Bible, about Jesus. My aunt's like, what's wrong with you? You know, kind of like, something's weird, I mean, because he never, you know, accepted, you know, about Adventist or Sabbath or Bible. So my aunt, it was very, you know, this, you know, my brother's acting kind of weird. And they went up there and sit down, and my uncle's daughter, my cousin, says, hey, that place, the hammock and the TV, they watch all the time your church channel.
Okay, so he has his hammock and the little TV there that now he's watching TV. And what is that TV? What is it?
3ABN Latino.
3ABN Latino. So they're in his hammock. He's watching 3ABN in Spanish. And all of a sudden he has this desire to do what the Lord is asking him to do. Now, here's the important thing why I called you up, because it has to do with to be prepared for ministry. Your uncle, has he had any classes on public speaking or...
No
classes on public speaking. Has he ever gone yet to any how to give Bible study classes?
No
Bible, how to give Bible study classes. Just so he's really hasn't been prepared for ministry in a sense.
No,
right?
Not at all.
But what is he doing?
Now he's so excited to know all the truth he's been, you know, learning on 3ABN. And now he's going to my uncle's, they're not Adventist, and he's preaching to them. He's saying, you know what, I mean, we're wrong, you know, we're not, you know, Sunday is not a worship, you know, the day, Sabbath, and about Jesus is coming, repent your sins, pray, he's coming, and he's on fire. I'm not kidding you, I mean, everybody's looking at him like, uncle, I mean, you know, he's acting like this.
He's a different man.
Different man, and both he and his wife, they're going to their Seventh-day Adventist church now.
Mm-hmm.
And the little town that they live, and people are so excited, you know, because my uncle is very known in that town. So
he used to be a mayor in the town?
Yeah, he was a mayor in that town.
Okay, so he's very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is preaching the gospel that was entrusted to him.
And he's not baptized yet.
And he's not baptized yet.
And he told my dad that this year he's going to give to life his, you know.
Amen. Baptized. Thank you, Alex. Amen. I wanted you to hear that, because here's a man that hasn't had any training, but he has been prepared for ministry. Who prepared him? The Holy Spirit. All we need to do is have a willing heart. A willing heart, and the Holy Spirit can work in your heart, and you will be prepared for ministry. See, it's the joy that overflows, and he wants to go and do that. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are all needed for ministry. Now that you are the body of Christ, and members, it says members individually. Yes, you know, you heard of the example. When you smack your thumb with a hammer, poor thumb, right? Let it be in pain, poor guy. What happens when you smack your thumb with a hammer? Does the whole body feel it? That is exactly what it is with all of you. When somebody's missing, we should all feel it. We should all take responsibility for it. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. And when someone's hurting, we should all hurt. When someone is in joy, we should all be in joy with them too. When somebody is going through sorrows and pain, we should all be there. Because we are one body. And the head of that body is Jesus Christ. You and I are accountable and rewarded for ministry. Colossians 3:23-24. I like this text because it's something that I apply to my life, because I believe that whatever we do, whatever you do, whether it's something small or whether it's something great, we should do it with the best of our abilities. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So, we are kind of held accountable for what we do and what we don't do. The Lord is going to give us a reward based on that. Let me pause again and say this. We are not saved by works. We are saved by Jesus Christ. But if you love Jesus, how much are you willing to do for Him? Have you ever been at the mall? Probably some of you have, or at the park. And do you see young people that are in love at the park, at the mall? Have you ever seen them? And have you ever seen sometimes they make fools of themselves? Or maybe we were at one time that young man, right? And I didn't understand why someone would walk around flapping their wings in front of 300 strangers like a chicken. Why would you do that? Because the person that you're in love with asked you to do it. And when someone that you're in love with asks you to do something, sometimes we do those things, don't we? Why? Because we love the person. When I give premarital counseling, you know, I tell them that we don't sign a contract before you get married. Because if we did, we probably wouldn't get married. I, Walter Mancia, or I, Laura Mancia, promise that I will, and then we'll start that big long list. Wash and cook and clean, pick up sometimes your dirty socks and the kids' socks, and do this and do that, and go down the list and cook meals three times a day for 365 years till the rest of your life. Oh, and then make the bed, help me make the bed, and I will provide for the family. Boy, we looked at that list of every responsibility that we have to do when we get married, we'd be thinking twice about it. And then, wait a minute, let me think about this. But all that is overcome, why? Because you love the person, and you are willing to do this out of love. Out of love. And although we are going to be accountable for ministry, the best ministry that happens is when we minister out of love. Pillar number two, and I'm going to go really quickly here. Every ministry is important. Keep that in mind. Every ministry is important. Whether it is Pathfinder ministry, children's ministry, adventurers ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, card ministry, singles ministry, whatever ministry we have in the church, they are all important. And if the Holy Spirit is putting something in your mind to do something, let me tell you, follow what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Because maybe it's the ministry that He was asking you to do for this year of evangelism. What is the purpose of ministry? To bring someone to the feet of Jesus Christ. So whether it's phone call ministry, telephone ministry, whether it's, you know, you want to email encouraging words to people, whatever the ministry that the Lord is going to place in your heart this year, do it. Because every ministry will be important. Three, pillar number three is that we are all dependent on each other. I am so blessed here at Valley View that I have a good team of leaders, elders, deacons and deaconesses. And then we have the greatest support group anyone could have with the children's ministry, Sabbath school, all the teachers that take all the time that you take to do all these things that have to be done. That is ministry. And then the deacons that serve, that come here, that get things ready. I mean, we are all working together to do ministry. That's what we're all about. And when we lose sight of that goal, we have become a club that just comes here every week. We sit down, we give our donation, or we give our dues, and then we go home. Is that what church is all about? No. Church is about ministry. Hop on board. Let the Lord lead you on what we need to do. Ministry is the expression of my shape. Now, before you think I have to, we're going to analyze this. Ministry is the expression of my shape. But I do have to say this about, you know, sometimes we as Adventists, we like to go to a lot of seminars. If there's a seminar on something, we want to go, don't we? Especially if they're giving something free. Like a Bible that we have like 300 of them at home. But it's free, so we go. And sometimes, you know, we take in. But never what? Never give out. Ministry is the expression of my shape. How is that? Well, S is for spiritual gifts. The Lord has given all of us spiritual gifts. Some of us might have one or two. Others might have more than five, six. But we all have spiritual gifts, and we need to use them for ministry. H, for heart. Heart. This is passion. Passion. How passionate are you about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? How passionate are you when you meet somebody and you tell them, you know, Jesus Christ is coming soon? Did you know that? We have to be passionate. Passion is something that you do without being forced to do. Think about the greatest hobby you have. What is the hobby that you have that you like that no one has to force you to do? That you go and do it anyways. Whether it rains and shines, whatever it is, you like to do that. No one has to force you. We need to have passion for that. H, abilities. All of us have different abilities. Some of you I know that are really good with handiwork of wood and all kinds of things. Some of you I know that have come up to me and want to give Bible studies. Some of you are good with service. Some of you are good with, all kinds of other things. But those abilities have to be used for ministry. Are they being used for ministry? P, personality, temperament. You know, well, I'm shy. You know what? The Lord could use shy people too. Well, I'm too outgoing. I'm not diplomatic. Well, welcome to the club, Peter. The Lord can take care of you too. The Lord can use anybody. What personality you have, you know what? The Lord could work on it. Well, I'm too rough. I can't be around people it's all right. Are you willing to do the work of the Lord? Well, yeah. Well, then, welcome. Let the Lord take care of that. you start working. He will take care of that. And the E is experiences. We've all had different experiences. Some of us might have a little bit more education than others. Some of us have a vocational trade that you have. And also with experience, some of you might have spiritual experiences that you have gone through. You know, your testimony. I was just hearing of a testimony this morning, and I asked, have you shared this with people? And said, no, that's what I want to do. You know, because some of you have a tremendous testimony to give to the world. Me? What's my testimony? I was born in a Seventh-day Adventist home, and I grew up Adventist, and here I am. But some of you, tremendous testimonies of how the Lord pulled you out of destruction, so to speak. And now you are here praising God. And some of you know and you feel this way, if the Lord could pull me out of where I was, He could pull anyone out. Tremendous testimonies, experiences, spiritual experiences. You have some of you have experiences in ministry. Not here, but the last church I was in, there were, you know, I think there were four or five retired pastors, which that sometimes could be good and sometimes could be bad. Because a retired pastor knows what he's doing. And a young kid, like they call me, sometimes doesn't. It could be interesting. But we all work together. For what? For ministry. Ministry has to take place. And the other part of experiences is that some of the experiences that you have gone through are very painful. And some of those experiences could help others go through, you know, as you encourage others in some of their painful experiences that they're going through. So you see, our spiritual shape will also determine what kind of a ministry you will do. I want to share some quotes with you, and I'll end with this. They'll go really quick, but I want you to think about them. And like I said, I don't want you to feel guilty about it. I want you just let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. God could have proclaimed His truth through sinless angels. But this is not His plan. He chooses human beings as instruments in the working out of His designs. I'm just shortening it here. In loving ministry, they are to meet the sinful and the needy and lead them to the cross. You know, the gospel could be finished all around the world if God sent maybe one angel per continent. But he doesn't choose to do that. He chooses to use you and I to finish the work as instruments, as agents to do the work. Acts of the Apostles. It is the plan of heaven that those who have received light shall impart it to those in darkness. Have you received light? Then it is the plan for you to impart that light to somebody else. God could have reached His object in saving sinners without our aid. But in order for us to develop a character like Christ's, and I want to develop a character like Christ, do you? So in order for us to develop a character like Christ, we must share in His work in order to enter into His joy. And what is Christ's joy? The joy of seeing souls redeemed by His sacrifice. We must participate in His labors for their redemption. I mean, we can't be selfish. The Lord has given us an opportunity to live eternally. Don't we want to share that? There are those who for a lifetime have professed to be acquainted with Christ, yet who have never made a personal effort to bring even one soul to the Savior. Now, I want to stop there. Because this is not talking about that you're not going to go to heaven if you don't save one person. All this is saying is that a personal effort, all God wants is a personal effort. That's all He wants. Even if it's a really tiny personal effort, it's okay. You know why? Because your little tiny personal effort with God behind it and the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, it will make a great difference. So, who have never made a personal effort to bring even one soul to the Savior, they have all the work, they leave all the work for the minister. He may well be qualified for his calling, but he cannot do that which God has left for the members of the church. We put it this way. Most of you have accepted me as your pastor, and I thank you for that. But a pastor is here to do what? To guide and to lead the sheep, right? Now understand this. When it comes to God Almighty and Jesus Christ, I'm here with you, right? I'm part of you. I'm a sheep. But the Lord has asked me to do something a little bit more special, and that's to work under Him to guide you. And so, if I'm a pastor and you're sheep, sheep produce sheep. There is a plan that God has for His church. I'm participating in it. But I cannot do that which the Lord has asked you to do as members of the church. We need to motivate ourselves in seeking the lost. This is going to be our closing hymn, and while the group is coming up to sing, you know, we are asked to sing with knowledge and understanding. And we've sang this song so many times, and it even has a catchy tune to it, and the ladies sing one part and the gentlemen sing another part. But sometimes it's just a song that we sing. Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on that mountain astray. And it says, come on to me, his message repeating, words of the master speaking today. And then the refrain goes, going afar upon the mountain. That means that we are willing to go to the highest mountain to find somebody that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. This year, 2009, year of evangelism. You think that's good?
Yep.
All right. I'm glad all three of you are in agreement with that. The year of evangelism. I want to just motivate you. I want you just to pray to the Lord to see what you could do. as an individual, because as a church we're going to be planning things, we're going to be doing things, but as an individual, pray to the Lord. Get on your knees. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do this year, the year of evangelism? What do you want me to do for you? Let's stand together and sing Seeking the Lost. Evangelism is all about. And it includes you and I. If you and I need to come back to Jesus, why not do it today? It says, thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen. The faint and the fallen. That could be one of your brothers and sisters that's not here today. Look around. Give them a call. Email them. Send them a card. Maybe this could be your ministry. And as we do that, we are pointing the lost to Jesus. He said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to spread the gospel, to spread the message of Jesus Christ that should be bringing hope into our hearts, that should be bringing joy to our life. And Father, I pray that as we pray for guidance, as we pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, I pray that you may direct all of us as individuals to know what to do for you this year. We have started this year, 2009, and is designated as the year of evangelism. Put in our hearts something that you would want us to do. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.